Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Birmingham, earned a BA in theology and a master's degree in education from the University of Notre Dame. He then earned a Master of Divinity from the Jesuit School of Theology, and in 2023 he was ordained a Jesuit priest. From 23 to 25, he was a parish priest at St. Mary's Student Parish in Ann Arbor. And he's just been named the 31st president of the University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy. His name? Father Dan Dixon, Jesuit. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the new president, the 31st president in the 150-year history of the famous, iconic UAD Jesuit High School, Father Dan Dixon. Father, welcome. An honor to have you.
Jack, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on here. Thank you for the invitation.
Can we start, as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, Easter, would you please lead us in an opening prayer?
With pleasure. Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, generous giver of all good gifts, we thank you for the many blessings in our lives. As we prepare our hearts to celebrate Easter Sunday, Lord, make us aware of the resurrection, how you are inviting us to live in your spirit of new life, a spirit of hope and a spirit of joy. Bless this conversation and all Metro Detroiters who listen, that they may have a happy Easter celebrating the gift of the resurrection of your Son. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's go back. Beverly Hills, not California. Your childhood, your mom and your dad, please.
Sure. Technically Birmingham, but right on the edge there with Beverly Hills. I grew up in Our Lady Queen of Martyrs Parish. And my earliest memories of life are all tied to the Catholic Church and Catholic education. My brothers, I'm the youngest of three boys. We all went to Our Lady Queen of Martyrs, were baptized there. And it was a wonderful place to grow in our Catholic faith. I think of friendships that I still hold to this day. I think of teachers that cared for me. I think of priests that lived a joy-filled life. And while I didn't know it at the time, those were the seeds that were planted that probably led to my own vocation.
What's the biggest thing, Father, you learned from Mom? And what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
The biggest thing I learned from Dad, his best advice to me was trust the timing. And that, I think of that now as the Holy Spirit tends to work in terms of timing. And Dad taught me how to be curious about life and open to whatever God would bring to you. He was a joy-filled man. He passed away about 2 years ago. And I think of him every day. And I thank God for the way he taught me and loved me. Mom is still with us, and she is a dynamo. She is a Catholic educator at her heart. She was the principal of Shrine Catholic Grade School for 17 years and taught at Our Lady Queen of Martyrs. What I learned from Mom and continue to learn from her is the importance of being grounded in your faith and committed to your mission. Mom lives every day to the fullest, and that encourages me to do the same no matter what the challenges are.
You go to U of D Jesuit Academy and then high school, and you hear about this St. Ignatius, okay? Tell us about the founder of the Jesuits.
St. Ignatius was a military man, and his vocation story began with injury in battle. He was defending the Spanish. He was from Spain, Loyola, Spain, and he was defending a castle against the French who were trying to invade, and he was hit by a cannonball. And that changed his life because he wanted to read stories about chivalry, knights and ladies at court, that sort of thing. But he was convalescing at a house of religious sisters. And they looked at him and said, "We don't have those books. What we have is the lives of the saints." And that changed his life. He started reading stories about St. Francis and St. Dominic, and he thought of their incredible heroism in terms of their commitment to the poor and commitment to faith. And he said, if they could do it, I could do it. And what that began was a conversion that has really benefited the church for the past 500 years since he founded the Society of Jesus in 1540. Ignatius was gifted in the area of spirituality. He was mystical. He's most famous for a retreat he created called the Spiritual Exercises. And that retreat has been made available to people all over the world. Sometimes in the form of a 30-day silent retreat, which I myself made, and other times for people in daily life. And the whole point is to help them get to know God. And he was also a gifted administrator, and he founded an order that has had great structure and great mission. Our motto is Ad Maiorem Dei Gloriam, for the greater glory of God. And that is how we try to live our lives as Jesuits.
And today, 28 Jesuit colleges and universities, 59 Jesuit high schools, UAD Jesuit being the primo, and 16 middle schools. All right, there's a famous Jesuit professor of theology at Notre Dame. I quote him, "I think humility is really the heart of Jesuit spirituality."
Well, I wonder who that professor is. He sounds a lot like my thesis advisor, Father Brian Daly. he was the one Jesuit at Notre Dame. It's not a Jesuit school, but it is where I went. And humility, Father Daly was right about that, as he is about so many things. At the end of the day, a life of faith is about a life of service. We recognize, as the spiritual exercises teach us, that everything is a gift from God. And our challenge as people who seek to follow Jesus and to live out that faith is to give that gift back in the way we live our lives. And that's what humility is. It comes from the word humus, which means grounded. And that's what humility is. It's not about pretending you're not important. It's not about denying the gifts you've been given. It's about being grounded in the basic reality that everything you have is a gift. And that's what it is to be somebody who follows Jesus, is to say, he gave me this life, and now by the way I live it, I try to give it back with joy.
Father Ricardo, a lot of great things he said. Jack, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking less about yourself.
Beautifully said.
We're with Father Dan Dixon, and I'm Jack Priscilla, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula with Father Dan Dixon, who was ordained June 10th, 2023, almost 3 years ago. You say Mass every day. So 3 times 365 is 1,095. You've said Mass probably 1,200 times. Each time you say, "This is my body, this is my blood." Father, when you say those words, what do you think? What do you say to yourself?
Well, I think of Jesus, and the Mass is, of course, the source and summit of the Catholic life. And we believe the Mass is a representation of Jesus' sacrifice. And so I think of Jesus and where he was in that moment in his earthly life, which is at the Last Supper, preparing, knowing what was coming, what the Father was going to be asking him to do, to sacrifice himself on the cross out of love for all of humanity. And I think of him knowing that and being with some of his best friends, the people he most valued in the world. And I think of the complex emotions he must have been feeling. And I think what an honor it is to be able, by virtue of my ordination, to represent that sacrifice, that his body and his blood might be shared with everybody who comes to receive him. It's a gift. People come to church to be fed. And what a gift to be able to share that gift with others.
What's the biggest thing you've learned being a priest these past 3 years?
Great question. What I've learned is that it is an honor to be invited into the space of people's lives. I underestimated how close people would feel, not only people for whom I celebrate the sacraments, but people who include me in the ups and downs of their life, whether it's inviting me to celebrate their child's wedding or to be with them at the very end of their life as they prepare to go to God through an anointing, or simply just sharing their concerns and asking for their prayers. Every time I hear a confession, every time I have a pastoral conversation, I think to myself, what an honor that I get to be included, that I get to be connected to people. And I thank God for that. It's a gift.
We're talking to Father Dan Dixon. If you want to learn more, www.uofdjesuit.org. And I think the end of May, you'll officially become the 31st president.
July 1, it starts officially, although the conversations are already beginning. We're getting ready.
There's no gray hairs yet, but they're coming.
We'll find out.
Okay. All right. Father Ricardo again. Jack, the greatest act of love in the history of the world was when Christ was on the cross for each of us. Jack, Jesus was not the victim. He was the victor. We celebrated that a day ago. Tomorrow we celebrate Easter. What's the basic message of Easter, Father Dan?
That God has conquered every darkness, even the darkness of death, which of course for us as human beings is experienced or thought about as the deepest darkness, the most difficult thing to consider, that we might no longer see a loved one, that we don't know what comes after this. And yet, as people of faith, we recognize and we believe in the resurrection, that God has conquered even the darkness of death and therefore created the possibility of new life. There is nothing greater to celebrate. There's a reason churches are at their fullest at Easter. People know, they feel it deep in their hearts, that we have a God who has made possible the opportunity for life after this one.
UOD Jesuit High. It was formed in 1877. So next year is 150 years.
Yes.
It's had 31 presidents. Prior to you, only two of the presidents were alumni. There was a 1933 grad, Father Jerome Petz. And then there was a famous 1935 grad, the famous Father Malcolm Caron. And on January 12th, you were named 31st, and now you're the third. When you put your head on the pillow that night, Dan Dixon, what did you think?
I thought, how could this be? You know, in the Annunciation, Mary, that's what she thought to herself as she pondered these things in her heart in the Gospel of Luke. And I thought, with amazement and humility, as we spoke earlier, that the Holy Spirit was leading me into a new adventure. I would have never thought this was possible. As a Jesuit, we strive to be able to be missioned anywhere in the world and to do anything. And all the study, all the years, all the preparation, it's all meant to answer the call when your name is brought forth. And so when my provincial, Father Carl Kaiser, who used to be the president, one of those 31, asked me whether I'd be open to this assignment. My heart was filled with joy and almost overwhelmed to think that I might be able to give back to the school that gave so much to me. My brothers went there, my dad went there, cousins, uncles. That 1877 history, it's real. And it's a special place. And to be able to serve there is a gift from God, there's no doubt.
Okay, speaking of being real, a couple questions. Are there any banners, plaques for great athletic achievements with the name Dan Dixon? And did you ever get a demerit or a jug?
First question is easy, no. I did play golf and had a stint with baseball. I love sports. But those weren't the gifts that God gave me. But I did serve as the Student Senate Secretary. And in our mock elections, my peers suggested that I would be most likely to be president. Now, I think they were talking about U.S. president, but here I am all those years later. The second question, I never had a jug. We didn't have a demerit system back then. We do now. And neither did my brothers. So I am grateful to all the teachers who probably were merciful to me when they didn't need to be.
We're talking to Father Dan Dixon. If you want to learn more, www.uofdjesuit.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about this 150-year-old school on 7 Mile in the city. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Father Dan Dixon, who was just named 31st President, University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy, 150 years old, on 7 Mile. Tell us about it.
Okay, with pleasure. U of D Jesuit started in 1877, serving mostly Irish immigrants. The campus was down on Jefferson, right by where the current Jesuit church, St. Peter and Paul, is located. And it started together with the university. The first students served by that school were high school aged. They had different terms for them back then. But it was called Detroit College. And it only was through the years that it became clear that there was a need to separate the high school age with the university age, which is why we get the constant question, University of Detroit Jesuit, but it's not a university. True, it's a high school, but it was at its foundings. Detroit College became University of Detroit. And originally, University of Detroit, they were the Tigers, and the high school was the Cubs. So they changed the name to Titans because there were so many universities that had the nickname Tigers, as we know from March Madness. And so the high school, really, a watershed moment for them was the decision to move to what was back then the outskirts of the city, which is now its current campus on 7 Mile, and then the college to McNichols, which Father McNichols was a Jesuit, and he served as president of the University of Detroit. Detroit Jesuit High School is a school whose mission is to form men for others, modeled after the man for others, Jesus Christ. This is, to me, not just a theory, it was the reality in my own experience. As an eighth going on ninth grader, you're a small fish in a big pond trying to figure yourself out. And the high school years, I think for boys, especially, is an opportunity to figure out who God made you to be. And at my experience at U of D, that really came through not only in the sports which I played and the clubs which I participated in, but the service opportunities that we had. We have a program called Senior Service every Wednesday. All seniors at University of Detroit Jesuit High School, no exceptions, go out there into the Metro Detroit area and they share their gifts with people who might be in need. They could be school kids looking for a tutor. My senior service project was serving at a hospice organization called Lighthouse Hospice. And I met with the same woman every week, Miss Verna. And it transformed me because I realized, well, there was more to life than just getting really good grades and getting into a really good college. It was about giving yourself away in the same way that Jesus gave himself away, which is, of course, what we celebrate in a powerful way this Holy Week. And so Detroit Jesuit High School, the mission is to take those boys who come in unruly and with the way an eighth grade boy should be, but by the time they graduate, they are ready to be successful, not only in college, but in life. And that means to be a man for others.
I went to ChatGPT. I says, list me the three most prominent Jesuits of all time. Ignatius, number one.
Has to be.
Dan Dixon, number two.
Can't agree with that.
And then there was this guy, Jorge Bergoglio, number three, Pope Francis. I was blessed a few years ago. He wrote me his philosophy of life. Can you read it for us?
With pleasure. Dear Jack, my strategic plan for life is simple and straightforward. My purpose is to serve our Lord Jesus Christ with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength in whatever role he calls me. Without his constant grace and oversight, I am nothing but a wayward sinner. At whatever level he calls me to serve him, my aim is to reach out in community with love to those in our society who are weakest and most in need. As a knowing sinner, I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. Sincerely in Christ, Francisco.
What does that say to you, Father?
That says to me that Pope Francis was a Jesuit through and through. And actually, he passed away the day after Easter, so I'm thinking of him in a special way this week as we miss him and also thank God for our current Pope Leo.
From the south side of Chicago.
I thought you might have something to say about that. How about that, an American Pope? Who would have thought?
With God, anything is possible, okay?
Well, truly. And when I remember when Pope Francis was elected, it was my first year as a Jesuit. I was a novice. And I thought, as I thought on that pillow when I found out my mission to University of Detroit Jesuit, how could this be? Because Jesuits take a special vow of obedience to the Pope to be missioned wherever the church needs us to go. So the idea that the Pope would be a Jesuit was unfathomable to all of us. But reading this letter that he wrote to you, which is such a treasure, and thank you for sharing it with me, is that he really, although as a Pope he was not technically a Jesuit anymore, he was carrying forth our spirit, what they call a charism. The spiritual exercises, which I referenced earlier, is meant to help the person making the retreat come to know who is Jesus Christ. And the first week of the retreat is focused on this recognition of our identity as loved sinners. We are not perfect. Only God is perfect. We sin. We fall short. And yet, God looks upon us with love. The first public interview Pope Francis ever gave was they asked him, who is Jorge Mario Bergoglio? And he said, I am a sinner who God has looked upon.
He paused, remember, for like a minute, and it was a Jesuit interviewing him.
Yes, it was.
And he thought, you know, Pope, Your Holiness, did I say something wrong? And finally he said, well, I'm good at this and this and this. I'm not so good at this and this and this. But deep down, I'm just a sinner.
I'm a sinner who God has looked upon. And this is this beautiful letter that he wrote to you makes it so clear that the source of every good gift in his life is rooted in God. And so the fact that he's a sinner, the fact that he falls short, pales in comparison, although it's true, and it will always be true, of him, of you, of me, of all of us, that we have a God who has conquered death and the darkness of sin, and who has blessed us with new life. And he clearly accepted what the church was asking of him to be pope, not because he earned it or because he had all the best ideas, but because he was called. And so he says, in whatever role I would be given, even the pope, I'm sure he never thought it was possible. And yet he was able to accept it out of humility because God was the one calling him.
You got potential, you know that? So we're talking to Dan Dixon. For 3 years as a Jesuit, I believe his ministry has been America's greatest natural resource. When we come back, we're going to talk about that ministry. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love. Stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that his unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club, developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him, and then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything.
I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Father Dan Dixon. If you want to learn more, www.uofdjesuit.org. He was ordained in 2023. Since that time, he's been a parish priest at St. Mary's Student Parish in Ann Arbor, which is loaded with America's greatest natural resource. Father, what is America's greatest natural resource?
Jack, it's our young people, and it's our job to accompany them in the creation of a hope-filled future. That line, if it sounds like I had a reason for it, it's because it comes from the Jesuit Universal Apostolic Preferences, which is a fancy way of saying we, the Jesuits, throughout the entire world, did a prayerful process to ask, where is the Holy Spirit leading us today? Four priorities were included, including accompanying young people in the creation of the hope-filled future. And that's what I've been blessed to do for the last 3 years in my ministry at the University of Michigan St. Mary Student Parish. I have been amazed, Jack, to see a church that is full of young people. It challenges the narratives out there, what philosopher Charles Taylor calls the subtraction story, that there used to be a lot of religion and now there's less. Well, in reality, Jack, the story is more complicated and it's more hope-filled. Young people are coming back to church. They're asking the big questions about life. What is it all for? Who is God? How is God calling me? And that's what I've seen throughout the past 3 years. Our young people recognize that their world, their day-to-day reality is surrounded by noise, surrounded by distractions, and they're starting to say, you know what? I want something more. I want something deeper. God made me to be someone more. And they're finding, some young people, many, are finding those answers in church. And we're seeing it at St. Mary's Student Parish. And it fills my heart with hope to meet these young people, to hear their dreams and their desires, and to really come to understand that they have a very strong relationship with God and a desire to make that relationship even stronger.
Let's go back 40 days, Ash Wednesday. Did they even come to get ashes, any of them?
Jack, I think Ash Wednesday is the most well-attended church service throughout the entire year. Our church was bursting at the seams. We had people, not only standing room only, we had, I think, 7 services throughout campus. And the 510 that I presided at, I think we had upwards of 700 people, something like this, which for our small little church, they were lined up in the sidewalks. We had to go outside of the church to make sure people got their ashes. And most of those were young people. And that says something to me, that they recognize the need to turn away from sin and darkness and to accept the good news of Jesus Christ.
All right, there's a place in Denver called Focus. And every year they have a 4-day conference called SEEK, S-E-E-K. It's the first week of January. And it's for Catholic college kids. So they're on their break. They don't hold it in South Beach or the Bahamas or Vegas. All right? You were part of it this past January, 4 days. I forget, did they have like 100 or 120 kids, Father?
Well, from the University of Michigan, we brought about 35, but we went, of all places, to Columbus, Ohio. So imagine a bunch of University of Michigan students deciding to spend their break in Columbus, Ohio, of all places. And when we arrived, we could not believe what we saw. About 20,000 people.
Say that again.
20,000 young people, most of them college-aged, almost all, gathering to feel a sense of belonging in the Catholic Church, to recognize that the Holy Spirit, what we're seeing at the University of Michigan with the church bursting at the seams, people are seeing it elsewhere too. And that certainly gave our students, and it gave me, lots of energy and excitement to keep at it, to keep following where the Holy Spirit is leading us. Because without question, I believe the church has a hope-filled future, and I think young people need to be at the center of it.
I think there were 150 priests there.
Maybe
you were
more.
One of them.
Maybe more. Mm-hmm.
So you were hearing confessions left and right. Let's be honest. When there was a Buckeye kid, Ohio State, and he went to confession, how tough were you on the Buckeye?
Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, you know very well the rule of the seal of the confessional, so I can't divulge those details. But I would say this, God looks at all of us with eyes of love and mercy. And so I would hope that myself and whatever other priests were there, that every single person, all 20,000 of them, experienced that love and mercy, which is, of course, why we say celebrate the sacrament of confession. It's not about moping around. It's about recognizing the great gift of God's mercy.
Tomorrow's Easter. It's a time of great joy or great sadness. There's a listener that has just lost a loved one, just heard you have cancer. I'm leaving you. What do you say to that person?
I say to that person, he is risen indeed. Ours is a God of compassion, which means to suffer with. If this Easter you are feeling lonely or something difficult has happened in your life, a new diagnosis, a loss, a challenging curveball thrown to you by life, know that God is with you. You are not alone. God suffers with you and for you and wants to lead you into new life. It might take time. It might not be in the way we expect. But if we allow God to be with us in our suffering, we can trust that someday he will lead us into new life.
Your mom was a principal at Shrine Grade School for a lot of years. The famous iconic shrine in Royal Oak, 12 Mile in Woodward. Saint Therese, the little flower. She said a lot of things. Once she said, a saint is simply a sinner who keeps on trying. Is there hope for me, Father?
There's hope for all of us in Jesus Christ, Jack, including you and me. And that's why we're getting ready to celebrate at Easter. That's what this represents for us, that although we are sinners, as St. Therese so beautifully put it, in our own little ways, we can grow in holiness. And that is what life is about. It's about growing as holy men and women of God who are getting ready through the mercy of God to hopefully be with Him forever in heaven. And that is made available to us through the sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection that we celebrate tomorrow.
Okay, half an hour. There's a couple listening who has a son going into seventh grade or high school. Why should they send him to UD Jesuit High?
I would say to that family, there is no better place to help your boy become a man for others. There is no other place in the Metro Detroit area where you can sit and study with students from Northville and Grosse Pointe and the city of Detroit and learn what God has in store for you. I hope to see them next year.
As our time winds down, would you lead us in a closing prayer, please?
Well, thanks for the invitation, Jack. Actually, my favorite prayer is called the Suscipe, and it's the final prayer on the spiritual exercises that I referenced earlier. And so I'd like to close us saying that prayer together, asking the Lord to bless us and help us respond to His will. Let us pray. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
And Heavenly Father, as Father Dan Dixon embarks on the next chapter in his glorious life, be with him, guide him, and direct him. Thank you. Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. Make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohon.
Believe in yourself.